Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So as Striketober has concluded, I said, look, love the fact that a lot of people are out demanding better wages, hours, conditions, a better voice on the job, better all of that stuff. And the number of strikes we saw, good. Hoping that that would go into November, and we'll still come up with, what is it, Strike November or Strike November or whatever. Had enough November, whatever. I'm now looking at there's a potential strike going to happen up in Scranton, Pennsylvania, the Scranton Federation of Teachers. There's talk that on November 3rd at 12:01, the pitch of the night, that the teachers there are going to go on strike, more than 800 teachers and paraprofessionals. And here to share some thoughts on that, I've asked Arthur Steinberg to come talk with us. Arthur's the president of AFT Pennsylvania. Arthur, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, anytime, Rick. I appreciate the opportunity.
So, you know, we've seen the memes, we've seen the hashtags. This is Striketober. Looks like this could carry over into November and December, and this could actually maybe pick up a little steam.
Oh, I think so. And the situation in Scranton is particularly, use whatever word you want, heinous, appalling. It just is beyond belief.
And this is one of those moments where, you know, at the end of the day, this, nobody wants this. No teacher. I've never met a teacher who's happy about going on strike. I've never met a worker who goes, yay, we're going to go on strike. It's great. I found people who go, I don't have a choice. This is the last arrow in the quiver. They've given us no option. This is the last resort.
Well, and Rick, this is particularly true here when you recognize that the educators in Scranton have not had a raise for 5 years. Their average starting salary is 470th out of 500 districts in the state of Pennsylvania.
Wow.
The district was placed in a recovery plan by the state in 2018. And what they have done is they have made draconian cuts to the educational program and have saved the money really on the backs of the educators. Every penny that they have tried to put into back into their coffers and to increase their balances have been at the expense of the educational program or the teachers. They cut a renowned pre-K program. They've increased class size. They want to stop paying for extra duties. And as I said, they haven't given the educators a raise in 5 years, where they are one of the lowest paid districts in the state.
This is crazy.
And they are the lowest except for one in their area.
This is crazy because all we keep hearing, Arthur, is that there's a teacher shortage all over the place, and we can't get teachers. The teachers aren't coming back. And I saw this meme the other day that made me go, here's probably why. This woman tweeted out that she's making more money as a bartender, working 15 hours less than she was making as a school teacher. And you go, what kind of a world do we live in when bartenders make more than the people who take care of our most precious resource, our children and the future of this country? It's bizarre to me.
Rick, it makes no sense, and it's particularly worse in Scranton. They have at least 40 teacher vacancies now, which means the class size has increased again, which obviously impacts the children's ability to achieve. Pennsylvania exports more of its teaching college graduates than stay, and it just becomes a vicious cycle, and the city of Scranton is paying the price. You can't have a vibrant city without a great public school system.
Yeah, you're not going to get people to move there. So whose fault is this? I mean, we love to blame people. Is this the fault of the school district? Is this the fault of the state legislature? Is this the governor's fault? Where's the blame in this, or is it everybody?
Okay. Well, the blame falls with, as far as I'm concerned, the Republican legislature won't adequately fund the schools. They have $7 billion sitting in a rainy day fund, and they could have put all of the money into the basic educational formula program, and they chose not to. And the school board and the chief recovery officer in Scranton is not utilizing the money properly. They've gotten $60 million from the feds in the past 3 years. It would be very easy to fund a justifiable, fair contract for the teachers. So I would lay the blame at the state legislature, at the feet of the state legislature, and the chief recovery officer and school board in Scranton.
Yeah, would you throw in Tom Corbett and the massive cuts from 2010? Would you throw that in there?
Oh,
as
that
well?
Started it. I mean, that started us down this path. But again, his successors in his party had an opportunity to rectify that now. And Governor Wolf has started to put all of the new money each year through the basic to fair funding formula. However, that legislature has denied him the opportunity to put all of the money through it, which is why the fair funding lawsuit has to go forward and is being heard. So put a capital R next to it with Corbett, the current legislature, and then, at least half of the blame also goes to the chief recovery officer in the school district in Scranton.
Now, I have a friend who lives up in that area, and he tells me that there are other schools, like charter schools and cyber charter, who have played into this. Is this playing into that scenario as well, or is that a minor?
Well, sure. No, it's not minor because you know how horrible Pennsylvania's funding is in relation to charters, how it just robs money from the traditional public schools. And as the situation worsens in Scranton, they're poaching kids from Scranton, which means that more money goes to the charters and comes out of the pockets of the school district.
I mean, there's a moment where you go, at some point you've got to make smart investments. And, this has been going on in the Scranton School District for a while. As you pointed out, they've appointed this overseer. And generally what I find out, and help me if I'm wrong, whenever one of those overseers is put in place, the education comes second to the penny pinching. Is this what I'm seeing
there? Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And Rick, the research has shown, we've done quite a bit of it lately, that particularly in Pennsylvania, state takeovers do not succeed. Their main goal is financial austerity. They've had enough of austerity and bare bones budgets in Scranton. And if they don't rectify it soon, they're going to do irreparable harm to the school district, to the kids, the staff, and the city itself.
Now, I look at Philly and I look at Harrisburg. Where they put things in place, where we end up paying administrators a whole boatload of money that should have been spent in the classroom, and they still fail.
Well, and fail, I think, is I take umbrage usually at that word because that gets thrown back on the educators and the teachers. I think it's the administration and the state legislature has failed.
No, that's what I mean. The administrators are the ones that are failing. We're paying them a boatload of money.
Funding stream. Then we're on the same page there.
No, there's no daylight between us on this because I'm a firm believer and I want, elected school boards. I want parents to have say in what's going on, and I want educators teaching kids at the front of the classroom and not bean counters. And sadly, what's happened every time you get people tinkering in there who are looking at the numbers more than they're looking at how our kids are doing, we get problems.
Well, and again, just back to Scranton, I mean, and everybody's focusing on, and rightfully so, that the educators there are having, it's a great struggle to keep their heads above water financially, but the devastating impact that it's had on the educational program in Scranton can't be overstated.
It's sad, especially, when you're coming out of this pandemic and, there's going to be a lot of remedial work, I believe, that needs to be done. Let me ask you about that, because, I do believe there's going to be some remedial work that needs to be done, and we should be budgeting for that. And yet we can't seem to keep the lights on, it seems. We can't seem to pay just the basic bills. How are we going to go and do the work that needs to be done into the future as we continue to move back to what was considered normal in the past?
Well, I think this is a perfect example that you have to at least give them the basic necessities before you can deal with what everybody lost. And surprisingly, because of the really remarkable efforts of educators across the state, some of the kids have fared rather well. But in poorer districts like Scranton, which have less resources and which require more services to keep the kids up to par, unless you put in adequate basic educational programs, it's very difficult to deal with the deficiencies that occurred due to the pandemic.
You're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're here with Arthur Steinberg, president of AFT Pennsylvania. You know, we're talking a little bit about, you know, what's going on in Scranton, a potential strike on November 3rd, also a teacher shortage. Now, you know, I'm looking at...
Rick, let me throw something in about Scranton, which to me is maybe the most unconscionable thing I've ever heard. In the middle of what is still a global pandemic, the Scranton School District sent notice to the Federation that should the strike occur on November 3rd, and by the way, they are still negotiating, their health care benefits will cease immediately as of 12:01 that morning. Remember, many of those educators have kids that are students in the school district of Scranton.
Well, this is what employers do, don't they? It's the number one thing they do to starve people back to work and make them desperate, which, again, is another...
I tell you, I haven't seen it too often in the public sector, and particularly in the school system.
Well, it looks like it's coming there, doesn't it? But here's my question. You know, I'm watching all these school board meetings. I'm looking at the organizing that's going on of pushing this right-wing agenda, you know, under the guise of don't let a good crisis go to waste. It seems like there are those who want to starve our schools and our teachers for this idea that, well, in order to save them, Arthur, we've got to destroy them first so that they can take them over and remake them in the whatever bizarre Texas kind of way that they're thinking about.
Yeah.
Are you as afraid as I am that this kind of billionaire money flowing into these fake grassroots groups?
Very much so, Rick. Rick, they're using different issues now, but it's the same playbook they've done for years. Starve the schools of resources, then claim they're failing and privatize them.
Is that part of this?
Absolutely. That has been a consistent theme since this privatization voucher charter school agenda came into vogue. They're just using these newer issues now to galvanize support.
Right, because now you've got these people, you know, basically losing their mind, apoplectic over their children having to wear masks. Oh, I won't be able to see my child's beautiful smile. You know, nonsense like that. And all the while being the useful dupes for the billionaires at the top who are funding these grassroots groups who are these, well, euphemistically named grassroots groups who have the ultimate intention of destroying public education. And it's one of those
destroying
things where you're...
Destroying public education, yes, and making money off it for themselves.
And that's where I was going to go with this. I mean, you know, there's a lot of education money being siphoned off into these for-profit industries.
Yeah, and no better example than the charter industry in Pennsylvania.
So what can we parents do? I mean, I see these videos of, you know, basically just parents losing their mind over masks. And now I guess there's this representative from Texas who's identified 850 books that he thinks will, I don't know, bring discomfort to students or maybe give them ideas about sexuality or racism, that he wants every school in Texas to report to him if they're on the shelves and report any other bad books. I fear book burning's on the horizon. You look at this stuff, that's what they're organizing around. Not how do we make education better? How do we get more qualified and keep qualified teachers in the classroom? No, it's about nonsense.
And it's to really further their own agenda, period, beyond education, just their right-wing, intolerant programs.
So
you ask what parents can do. They need to vote in their school board elections. This is a low turnout election coming up, and those well-funded groups take advantage of this so that they can get their supporters in and enact policies that, once you do surveying and polling on, you find out most of the public's not in agreement with. But if they control the local school board, then they have the opportunity to enact their programs.
Yeah, that's the frightening part of this. And all of this seems to be coming out of Texas, where evidently we're rewriting history books as we speak. And look, I fear...
It's Texas, Rick. It's the Koch brothers. It's all over.
Yeah, I fear at some point my kids may learn that January 6th was the most patriotic day in American history.
That's right. People stood up for the downtrodden, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Rewrite history.
No, and this is why voting is so important, and being active and engaged is so important, because the moneyed interest, they've got an agenda, and it's not the agenda that they keep throwing out in front of us. I go back to the old Jay Gould quote, I can easily pay half the working class to murder the other half. It doesn't even seem like they have to pay much anymore. We seem to be doing it to ourselves.
That they're disguising what they're doing very well, and people are fooled.
Yeah,
scary. Not everybody, but they, you know, the money is being used, unfortunately, very effectively.
Yeah, on the Scranton front, what can we do to help the teachers there in Scranton? I hope on November 3rd there isn't a strike. I hope that they get a good contract, that there's no disruption. But I also understand that at some point there's a breaking point, and you have to do what you've got to do. But what can we do in the meantime?
Well, I think, you know, very superficially for right now, they have started a social media campaign for people to stand and support the Scranton Federation of Teachers. They can post on Twitter and Facebook. There are enough up there that they could like or retweet those, and that will let the interest in Scranton know that there is outside support for them, and let the teachers know that they have people in their corner so that they can persevere and weather through this.
Yeah,
and again, hopefully we'll be able to come to a negotiated settlement with them. The parties are working hard the Scranton Federation of Teachers is working hard towards that, and, you know, as we speak. And, you know, hopefully I'll be able to come back onto your show in a week and say, hey, we got a settlement that is fair for the educators in Scranton and for the students and their families as well.
I hope so. And I understand the hashtag that they're using is "We support our teachers." Hashtag "We support our teachers." Throw a note out, say you stand with the teachers in Scranton and teachers across the country. Because ultimately, you know, as I've been saying, these are the folks that we entrust the most precious resource we have in this country, and that's our children and the future. If we hand this over to right-wing ideologues hell bent on rewriting history, and teaching their version of, well, whatever, we got problems in the future.
I couldn't agree with you more, Rick.
Just is what it is. Arthur, I appreciate you taking time for us. Keep up the great work there at AFT Pennsylvania. Thanks so much.
Thank you. I appreciate the chance. I will talk to you soon.
Arthur Steinberg, president of AFT Pennsylvania. Again, you make sure you're tweeting out, hashtag, we support our teachers. Maybe throw in there why a teacher is important to you. Look, I've had some really great teachers over my lifetime that, you know, put me in a direction on a path that made me, you know, the person I am today. You know, I can tell you, I respect teachers. Sadly, we have to put up with the garbage that we see. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. Thanks for tuning in to The Rick Smith Show. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Rick Smith Show, like us on Facebook, Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can find all that and much more at therickSmithShow.com.